Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another podcast. This is Emo Girl Chronicles, and I'm your girl, Joyce Tristan. So, that episode last week got a little dicey. My best friends, you obviously know a lot about me. Not everybody knows everything about me. I mean, we've had this conversation. You know, I usually get a lot of feedback, but the only feedback I got this last week was my besties being like, time. I'm like, girl, it's been rough. It's been rough. I did record a little something right when I was first getting my feedback, and I was just, you know, this is why there's that trigger warning. I don't want to offend anybody, but if I were to tell you, you know, you were affected once, you were a victim once, I think that a lot of us struggle with, is it okay to enjoy life again? Is it okay to never think about this again? Is it okay to pretend like it never happened? And it is. A lot of therapy sessions have told me everything is okay. Any reaction that you have is okay. So if you never want to think about what, you know, a really nasty piece of shit did to you, then you never have to. If you know, you want to take your time away from people and keep to yourself for moments, weeks, months, you can do that too. That's a form of self-love. You know, taking your time, being alone, wallowing, self-reflecting. That's a form of self-love. You're welcome to do that. For me, how I cope, I would say, I have my moments, very few, that I think about it. And when I do, it is really heartbreaking. And usually I don't think about it. I try not to. I get triggered and then I like quickly change the subject. It's really funny. It's like, this happened at work once. Somebody was saying basically that we got fucked over because supposedly we got charged more than we should have. But the way that he said it, he literally said, how about we try to avoid getting raped this time? And I think he just meant, I know he just meant, how about we try to not get fucked this time? But the way that he said that, it felt weird hearing him say that. He definitely felt weird saying it, I think. And then I came to the rescue and kind of changed subjects, kind of, you know, scurried him along onto the next subject, like in our agenda. Like, I took that responsibility to make him more comfortable because I knew that it came out of his mouth and he immediately regretted it. What is that? Like, why am I bending over backwards for people that are inconsiderate or like talk before they think about it? That's part of the people pleasing that is just inside me that I just cannot get rid of. I can't overcome it. I'm trying to. Another thing that I kind of do when I get triggered is I do journal. I journal a lot. When my friend from last week, when she was just kind of like texting me that she remembers like the weekend that it happened to me, and how I approached her and like just the whole situation on it's like on the phone she knew that I needed somebody to talk to, and then I just couldn't get the words out. A lot of tears. And so she made her way over to my house, and I told her in the heap of tears. And then she was just like thinking, like, Joyce needs her time away. She got it off her chest. We've been crying. We've been together. We've been working through it. Maybe she needs some time away or like some time to herself. I'm gonna let her sleep it off. And so she left. But then, like, within a couple minutes, she says that she really regretted leaving. So she came back like at midnight and didn't want to scare me. So she was like calling me and she's like, yeah, I know that. So when I first got news, I did record a video of just how it happened. And I'm going to input this right here. Now, do not see, this is me people pleasing. This is me people. I'm worried that it's gonna affect you. But you're here for a reason. You wanna hear me talk, and we have things in common, and you like me. And, this is who I am. This is what happened to me. And why am I trying to make you more comfortable when I'm the one that went through this? Who knows? But I'm gonna tell you the little story of some details that I remember. Like my friend, she texted me and it made me remember some things, so I started recording. And when I get triggered, I journal. Right then, I got triggered because she reminded me of like how it happened and like our reaction to it. So I just started recording. And this is a video. It is very emotional. I do cry. Brace yourself. It'll be okay. And if this really resonates with you, I'm so sorry. And I would love to talk about it. We're both gonna get triggered, obviously, if we're talking about it. But at the end of the day, like, we're going to persevere. We're gonna be okay, and we're good people. The people that did this are not good people. You and I, we're good people. We're gonna persevere. Good things will happen, So this is a video. It's just a little memory. It stirred a lot of memories, so I wanted to upload a video or kind of record a video of the story of the most recent situation. That is very, very traumatizing, and I am so sorry if it triggers you like crazily, but it happened to me. So put that into perspective, okay? If you want to fast forward, I think that was like 18 minutes, 20 minutes. So fast forward. Brace yourself. Or it's fine. Or it's fine and you're stronger than me, but when I see people cry, I cry. So hi. So one of my best friends just welcome back to Emo Girl Chronicles. I'm your girl Joyce Tristan, and I just uploaded that last podcast, and one of my best friends just told me that she's tearing up because she remembers when I told her at my kitchen table. And now that like me and her are talking about it, want to start recording to like capture those memories that are coming up. And to like work my way through it. When I would say the most recent assault happened, I was at a work thing, and
I was staying in a hotel. And I was drinking at work. And just I blacked out, and somebody I really trusted took advantage of me. And it was so weird. Like, the day after, I didn't realize I blacked out, and then maybe just my memory, like, completely blocked it out. Like, to this day, I just have one memory. One or two. That I don't really want to say because I don't trust it. I don't trust that memory. So, I mean, I guess I have a few more. And some. Like, one was, I just remember being on top of this, like, parking lot. And that memory, like, kind of surfaced again because on vacation, I wanted, like, a good view. So I went on to the very top of this parking lot. And as soon as I was up there, I was like, wait, this is weird. This feels not good. And I wonder if I had the same reasoning and the same thought that night that I wanted a good view. I don't know. But, so I wake up the next day and I just go to work and I don't remember a thing. And this person texts me. And they tell me that I should take Plan B. And I've rarely ever really taken that. But I'm just like, what are you talking about? And then they're like, well, we did it 5 times. And I'm like, he was just telling me so many details and laughing. And I was like, this is just literally not right. And he gave me money. And I don't even know how he gave me money. And I, like, didn't accept it. I just couldn't get through. I didn't believe anything that was happening. And I think that he told me, like, when I was, like, sharing a ride with somebody from work. And my heart just sank. But, like, literally no emotions came to me till, I think, till I was on the phone. This suicide hotline. It wasn't like really violent suicide thoughts. It was like I cannot believe that this happened. Everybody knows. I don't want to face anybody. Not my friends, not my family, not my coworkers. I don't want to see anybody ever again. Like, I don't want to be, like, acknowledged. I don't know. And I was afraid that those thoughts would get a little bit crazier because I have struggled with depression. I've never had violent, like, you know, like, oh, I should. I guess I have when I was younger. When I was more dramatic and there was, like, more emotions bubbling up. I used to have thoughts like, I would make the most impact on somebody in a bad way if they found me in this really traumatic way. Yeah, so I think those are maybe the thoughts I wanted to avoid I think maybe like when I was driving too from the airport, I was just kind of like, well, if it's a car accident, nobody would really know, and people wouldn't really ask a lot of questions when they found out because it's just a car accident. Like, stuff happens. I don't know, but when he told me, he was like, it was nothing to him, which is disgusting. Because this person was actually a family member. And I met up with them because they were, they were in the area, and I'm never in that area. And I'm such a family person that I wanted to see them. So I invited him and his siblings, cousins, more cousins, and he showed up alone. And I didn't think anything of it because maybe I'm naive. And Kobe? So that happened. Then he told me, like, you know, a day before, he was joking. He's like, that was crazy. I was like, that's disgusting. I don't think I comprehend. What do you mean? So and so happened. And then I like couldn't sleep all night. My flight was at like 10 and I wanted to leave that night. And I was trying really hard with people like at the airline, and it just didn't work out. But as soon as like the sun came up, I went to the airport. I just like wanted to get out of that hotel room. And then I went home, and there was like this like 3-hour layover, and that's when I made that call. All throughout, I remember throughout the whole night, I was like looking at a lot of forums and a lot of Reddit posts, and people are disgusting out there with like fantasizing about incest and like stepbrothers and things like that. I don't know. And then well, I found out that it's honestly more common than you think, and a lot of people internalize it, and there's a lot of disassociation, like, no, that didn't happen to me, or no, I didn't do that to somebody else, which is heavy. Because, like I've said before, what I've found out is that the victim feels the most shame because the abuser is absolutely shameless and just doesn't care about what's right or wrong. And they made that decision. Meanwhile, the victim, it happened to us. There's, you know, against our will. So yeah, there was a lot of reading and a lot of like BetterHelp, really cool, came in and helped me. I got like instantly back on medication through MD Live. I got the medication like within 24 hours. I didn't get the morning after pill till I was back home. And my mom was in Mexico and it was really killing me not to tell anybody. Because it was like really struggling. So I told some friends and they all came over and they like really helped me. And I remember I was FaceTiming with my sister and I think she was saying that Andrea was like so beautiful, and I was saying something like how she always thinks that about herself. Because I think really I didn't love myself in that moment. I didn't feel like myself. And then my sister came over and we told my family. And all the sisters, we got together and everybody, it was a really big meeting and just kind of that. We were all saying that we all struggled. And ever since, we've been even closer. So, some things that came out of that were my family saying, not that everything happens for a reason, but you can learn from everything that happens to you. And this was, I need to lean on my family when it's hurting. And well, just to not trust everybody. You never know people's true intentions. And then just a lot about being a survivor. It's really, really common to be a victim. And when you're a victim one time, you're actually usually bound to be a victim many different times. And the reason why victims feel shame is because the accusers don't feel any. So, also, just that when you're going through something, you're allowed to go through it however you want. Whether that's anger or sadness, or even if it was like alcohol, it's normal. You know, you just can't forget that you're going through it. You know, that it's normal to maybe turn to alcohol, but it's not normal to drink so much. I don't know if that makes sense. That's a little bit of my story. And yeah, I wouldn't say I'm okay, but I am here for anybody that wants to talk.
Now that you know the story, so my friend, the one that was texting me about last week's podcast, she is telling me that she remembers me telling her the story and how emotional she got, and she came back. Like, she left. I told her the story. She left told her what happened. She left and she quickly came back, and then we spent the night and we were just chatting in bed, and that was really comforting. It's really interesting, like when it first happened, I was in shock. Like, I did not believe that it happened. I did not believe that I was capable of it. Like, I didn't believe. And sometimes I want to, like, put reasoning behind it. Like, I was drugged. There was alcohol. It was so bad that, like, maybe physically, maybe, like, physical abuse, that my brain just didn't want to remember it. I'm never going to get answers. So that's when I kind of stop trying to get answers. You know, sometimes my mind goes and runs and I'm just trying to make up some answers, but then I kind of think, why rack my head around it? It's never going to make sense because it was wrong. So, you know, I got to remember that and get my mind off of it. I think a way that I persevere is this disassociation that I was also texting my friend about last week when she listened to the podcast and we were texting. The way that I kind of, like, persevere is by disassociation. So disassociation is just kind of when I kind of think about the situation and I don't believe that it actually happened to me. I believe I am very sorry and I'm very sad for this girl. Like, this girl that I know, this girl that I love, almost like in a third party type of way, like in a third person, like I'm looking at her from above / like parallel, and I'm very sorry for this girl and I can't believe that happened to her, and her life is flipped upside down. But then I kind of explain to myself, no, that's me. It's really sad for me. I'm really sad. I'm feeling all those things. And then I kind of feel like the person I was before that happened is dead. Like, and some of the things that I think make me feel that way is that, like, to my core, I loved traveling. I was like ride or die for my family. Huge, really proud of my family. Almost like they were angels. Like, anybody from any side of my family, they're all angels. Like, my culture is very, like, dads take care of everybody, moms take care of everybody. If you're older, you take care of the kids, and the kids, you respect your elders. And if you're older, it's like the kids are just the cutest, the most pure. You do anything for the kids. The kids eat first. The kids sleep first. The kids are more comfortable. You know, if the kids are cold, everybody takes out their jacket. It's like, I just kind of felt that if you were older than me, you always had my best interest in mind. I think I also thought, like, culturally, you would never go against family. You would just never hurt somebody. You would respect your whole family. You knew right from wrong. Traveling, I was just like, when I am in a new city when I am on my own, when I just have one little backpack, one luggage. That's when I feel like I have only the essentials and I'm meeting new people and I'm a people person and I'm trusting and like love traveling, love meeting people, love my family. Like those things are me to my core. But then this happened when I was traveling from a family member. I was way too trusting. And then it just kind of shatters like the things that I thought made me, like who I am. So I think those kinds of things really shattered my person, like, and just made me almost like mourn who I was before. And I think that's just because my like idea of life and family and traveling and like being safe and like I'm a really strong, I can handle my own, that was shattered. And then now I'm just kind of like super vulnerable, open, cracked open into like, wow, the world is really harsh. There are really bad people. It is not safe to travel alone. It's not safe to be alone. It's better to be with somebody. I mean, kind of like don't trust anybody. And I am such a trust, I was, I kind of still am, such a trusting person. So, like, I want everybody to come. You know, if there's a party, I want everybody to come. I want all of my friends from this, from that, from this. I want everybody to come. But there are such bad people in this world that have, that are like two-faced, that would take advantage of you the second that they can. Another big part of me then was like, partying is safe. Partying is fun. Drinking, having fun, being with your friends, like it's okay. And my family instilled in me, like, no, it's not. They don't drink. They've never drank. And I was so like fighting them on that I was just kind of like, that's your journey. It doesn't have to be mine. This is kind of how me and all my friends, that's how we like, hang out. That's like the, what we have in common. That's what we do. We go to a bar, we have a drink. That's what we do. And I like it. They're tasty. And it's gonna be fine. Don't worry. And that's who I was, you know, for years. That's who I was. Then this happened. And it's not that they had a, that they were right. It's that I see it now. I see what they were saying. I feel it. I experienced what they were saying. I don't even think that when they were saying like that I shouldn't, I don't think they were thinking this would happen. You know, I don't think that ever crossed their mind. That doesn't cross anybody's mind because it's just disgusting. It's terrific. It's terrible. It's gross. It's nasty. This would never cross anybody's right mind. So, yeah, when that happened, it really, really shattered me. I feel different, weird sometimes. I don't look at traveling the same. I don't look at family the same. I don't look at men the same. It really broke me at the time and it really affected me long term. But this has happened so many times. Just this time, like, really, really shattered me. And can't even like the details that I do know, I don't like really thinking about. There's some things that like no amount of talking could ever make it better. You can't go back in time. I mean, so how do we spin this to be a little bit more positive? Well, I have a lot. It's crazy. It's crazy. From all my research, all my talks, all my calls, all my group therapy, any conversation I've had with people, I honestly have a lot of common ground with a lot of people. It's insane how common rape is. And it's like, it's hard for me to say it. It's crazy how it's very, very touchy, triggering. It's, yeah. But there's a lot of people that have experienced something like this. And maybe before, because this wasn't like the first time. This was the most extreme. Like, and it just had so many repercussions, like so many, like, because again, I don't remember for sure. I don't remember for sure a second of it. I only remember the aftermath, and the aftermath, insane. Like, you're gonna offer me money. You're gonna joke about it. You're acting like it's normal. You know so many details and you want to tell me about these details. Like, we're going to like bond over it. Like, you think I want to hear them? You think I'm gonna like that? You like, oh God, it's so gross to think about. Like, I couldn't even entertain like a text back to this person. Ugh. Makes me a little wheezy now, like just like queasy or whatever. Ugh. There's just some people that don't. It's this whole thing of like people have a moral compass, people that don't, and then there's the people that do. You kind of hold all the shame and all the guilt and all that stuff that that other person should be holding. It's like you overcompensate because you know how disgusting they are, how little they have of just. So. What was I saying? Good, positive things. Oh, what is anything good that I mean, you'd be surprised. This is very, very common, and a lot of people, if they don't like talking about it, they don't like thinking about it, and that's fine. That's great. I think I started by saying that. Do that. Do that. Never think about it, never talk about it. You're probably not listening right now. But if you do want to talk about it, there is a lot of power in not in in being able to talk about it because now, do you guys think I reported it? Tell me. Do you think I reported it to who? If you think I reported it, do you think I reported it to his significant other? His family? His work? The authorities? The hotel we were at? Who? Controversial. Very bad. Not bad. Very controversial of me, but I didn't. I couldn't and I can't, and it makes me sick to average. Just like, I never want to cross paths. I never, never, never. don't like seeing his name. Don't like thinking about it, but the kind of over encompassing problem issue that terrific good or bad? Terrific is good. But it's terrible and horrific. Whatever. The horrific event of it all. There is some power in talking about that and just kind of restating to anybody that might be curious on what's right and what's wrong. There's just some power in shedding light on bad people, bad like jokes, bad like words. Like my boss that said, rape in the craziest context. If I was in a better place, you know, if it wasn't literally like 6 months ago, if I was in a better place, in a better position, higher up position, if he wasn't my boss, I would have said something. But he's my boss, so I have to wait till I'm his boss. And that way, it's not going to come back to me. You know, on setting people straight. But, you know, there's just some power in not turning a blind eye to it. And then, when you're a victim, yeah, there's some power in ignoring it altogether because you're still you. You can still pretend that you are that innocent person. The second that happens, like, I was shattered, and I am. And I just can't look at anybody the same. The world, men, ugh. Just like, there's so much I can't even look this, I can't look at the same. Not everything is just fun and games. And there's like, really terrible people that would take advantage of you in a second. So I used to think that, like, there were so many more good people in this world because most everybody I come in contact with were great and, like, my family. Like, I really hope some of this makes sense. Oh, my God. This change of subjects, but there's tea on what people think about my podcast. And that's just, like, just... Why? Well, because I want to. Please click off of this podcast if you don't want to listen to it. And if you don't like me, I don't know why you still follow me. I only post this on my Instagram. Listen, if you're here, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I hope that you are not giving me bad vibes. And if you're a hater, that comes from something within. So let's talk about that. Literally my favorite quote for like a month now, I think I've started this podcast saying that, was what bothers you about other people will teach you something about yourself. So, sorry. Then I went on another tangent, but basically, thank you so much for listening and I gotta go. See you next week. Bye.